I love the song that says, "Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes. He'll show it to you." This world needs to see Jesus today. There's a lot going on in this world. There's a lot going on with the wars that are being fought, with the economy that's being fought. There's a lot going on in the political world. There's a lot going on at the state level and all those things. And it seems to me that a lot of people are seeing the problems. And that's all we see. We see the problems with the budgets. We see the problems with the taxes. We see the problems with wars. And all those things are true. They're out there, and we need to be concerned about them. But my question is, have you seen Jesus, my Lord? Because He supersedes all of these problems. And whatever we work out or don't work out on this earth, He's got worked out for all eternity. Amen? And if you don't see Him, if you don't know Him, you'll never be able to accept Him and to go where He wants you to go. Look over in Hebrews 2 just a minute where James just read for us ago. Verse 9 specifically, for the Hebrew writer says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." Is that what you see when you see Jesus? I was talking not long ago to someone, and they were saying, you know, religion is dead. Religion is not pertinent anymore, and God is not pertinent anymore. And that just hurts my heart. It hurts my soul. But we live in a world where people don't see Jesus or even see a need for Jesus. And the truth is, without Jesus, nothing else makes sense to me. He is the grace of God. That is the grace of God. He died for my sins because we've all fallen short of God's glory because we've all sinned. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. We need to understand that we need grace. Let me give you a quick test this morning. How many of you are perfect? Don't raise your hand for anybody but yourself. Don't point to anybody. This is time for self-reflection and inspection. I am flawed because I am a human being. I have done nothing worthy of the death of the Son of God. And yet, because without blood there is no remission, He shed His blood for me, that for my sin He might die, that I might live for Him. And that, my friend, is grace. There is nothing that I can do that merits that. There is nothing that I can say that makes it okay, except that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so I want to share with you a couple of things that I found as I was looking in the Bible. We're going to have three major points. If you picked up the outline, you know that, and it'll be easy to fill them in. I want to know, can you see Jesus, my Lord, as the Son of God? For that's what He is. He is the Son of God. Oh, I know there's a sense in which we're all children of God, but there's that sense in which He is the only begotten Son of God. There's a special relationship in that He existed before the world was created, before the world was formed. There is that sense of the fact that He is divine. To testify that Jesus is the Son of God makes Him properly in the lineage of King David and the promise that a Messiah would come into the world. He's the one that was always prophesied. He's the one that was always talked about. But it also declares something else for us. It declares for us that Jesus, the Son of God, has a divine nature, a God nature. For it's only God who could save us from our sin. And He chose to do it through the agency of His Son dying on the cross. He is holy. We sing songs about holiness. We read the Bible about His holy disposition. He says, "I am holy, so you should be holy." He is without beginning or end. He is omniscient. He knows it all. He is omnipotent in that He has all power. So when you look at Jesus, who is the Son of God, why did He put on the flesh of man? Because there was no other way. If you look at John 3:16 and 17, I've mentioned it, quoted it a couple of times. For God so loved the world that He gave, underline it, His only begotten Son. I don't care if you underline it in your heart or your Bible, you just need to know it was His only Son. It was His only child. That's the sacrifice that was made. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son, there it is again, into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Twice in two verses. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit said, His Son, His Son. Have you ever had the experience of being out seen people and somebody says, oh, I knew your father. I can see you in him. I knew your mother. I can see you in him. I can hear in your voice. I can see in your actions. I would to God that that were true of all of us. But when you saw Jesus, you saw God. When he came to the world, he came as the divine Son of God in order that he might be able to forgive our sins. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and flip over to 1 John, 2nd and 3rd John, 1 John chapter 1, the first four verses there. And John, writing late in the biblical timeline, says, that which was from the beginning, from before time began, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The word of life there, if you most versions will have that word. I know that's redundant, but the word in quotations, word with a capital letter. It's just like the Gospel of John chapter 1 says, and the word became and the Word was God. So when we understand He is the divine Son of God, John says, we saw Him, we touched Him, we talked to Him, we held Him, we know that He is real. Go down to verse 3, and he says, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write that your joy might be full. You see, if you don't know Jesus as the Son of God, your joy can't be full. It can be temporary, but it cannot be filled up to take you through the hard times. You had hard times in your life? Everybody has. Surely you have. Time where you didn't know where to turn? Where you sang that song in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts, where could I go but to the Lord? I'm going to the Lord because He's the Son of God. I'm amazed at the places people turn for help financially today. If you know somebody, they tell me that if somebody wins the lottery, that immediately thousands of people will call them. Any idea why? Any of y'all have won the lottery you want to confess right now? They call because here's a source of money. I'm going to get money. You've got money, so you should help me. I want you to know that I know not the lottery winner. I know the Son of God, Jehovah, as my Lord and my Savior. It is not a light thing. He is not just a man, as Jesus Christ Superstar many years ago had a song to state. It's not that He is just a rabbi that existed 2,000 years ago. It's not that He was just a good man. He was a God man. He is the Son of the Almighty, Everlasting, All-Powerful God. My question is, can you see Jesus, my Lord, as the Son of God? For if you don't see Him for who He is, you'll never see the power that He has. You'll never know the grace that He can afford until you see Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Another passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, kind of coming down to the end of that book, just another chapter or so, verse 30. John writes his inspired message when he says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in His name. This is the evidence. This is the record. This is written down. This is Holy Spirit inspired through John to us today, that we're not alive when He walked on the earth, but these are written as the evidence that this is the Son of God, and believing that you have eternal life, and not believing that you do not have eternal life if you do not believe or know that Jesus is the Son of God. You've got to see it. Not only do you have to see it, you have to accept it. Because there's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But that brings up something else. For the Bible says, He is the Son of Man. And so the second question is, can you see Jesus as the Son of Man? In fact, it's been said that this was Jesus' favorite designation of Himself, that He is the Son of Man. That when He's talked, He said, don't you know that the Son of Man must do thus and so. Or the Son of Man has come. And so the question then is why? In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, the Bible said the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life of ransom. So He calls Himself the Son of Man over and over again in the New Testament. What do you know about Jesus as the Son of Man? Can you see Him? You know what that means to me? That means He walked the same planet that I walk on. One of the things, and I don't know if it'll ever happen in my life or not, that I've always had a desire to do is to go walk the streets that Jesus walked. I know that I couldn't tell exactly where He was or where it'd be, but I've watched many films and documentaries and different things, but there's just something about being on the same planet that Jesus was on. You know, He's not an outer space something. He's not a God from another planet. He's not He's our God. He is the Son of Man. And it's important that you see Him as the human being that He was, because when you think that nobody understands what you're going through, Jesus does, because He did. In fact, I would venture to say He went further than most of us will ever go, for He went to the cross. He left His home for the last 3 years of His life to preach the kingdom. There were crowds who thronged Him, both to follow Him and to destroy Him. The Bible talks about how He was tired and how He was hungry and how He had to go off to a quiet place by Himself. The Bible talks about Jesus as being thirsty at the well and asking the Samaritan woman for a drink. That's not a heavenly being. That's not an angelic existence that doesn't need water. This was a man, human being, just like you and just like me. Jesus tried to reveal Himself to those who would believe in Him, and He chose to reveal Himself as the Son of Man. Look at Matthew 16 and verse 13. It's a very familiar passage, and you've read it, and I've read it, and I've preached on it many times. But it's very pointed, because Jesus is talking to Peter after He's been with the disciples there, and on several occasions their crowds come around. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, listen to it, the Son of Man am?" It almost looks like to me He's saying, do people realize that I'm the Son of Man? That I'm flesh, that I'm human, that I'm enduring what they endure where I can get them to heaven? Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? He didn't say, who do people say that I, the Son of God, am? He didn't say, who do people say that I am the crucified Christ, am? He didn't say, I'm the one that's going to raise in 3 days. What do they say about that? He said, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, the human form that came to save them and put on humanity, who do people say that He is? We've already alluded to in our beginning remarks that some say He's just a prophet, or a wise man, or a teacher, a good man. Oh, others will say He didn't ever exist. And some will say He's a figment of your imagination or a myth. But when He was on the planet, it was pretty hard to deny that He is existing. So He asked the question of His disciples, who are these people saying that I, the Son of Man, am? Do they understand why I'm here, what the mission is? Look over in Luke chapter 9, verse 21. He continues with this concept of being the Son of Man. Have you ever felt out of place, like, these people just are not my people, these people don't understand me? I've gone to fancy places sometimes because of some invitation I had. I hate it when they put all those forks out there. I ain't got them figured out yet. Somebody said start from the outside and work in. Some people say start from the inside and work out. I just grab one and go with it. I was on a program once that the Archbishop of the Catholic Church of Mobile was present at, and we were sitting side by side. He told me a joke in Latin. I just laughed because it was in Latin. I don't know what he said. There are places where I don't feel like I belong, but Jesus said, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, the fleshly person who walks just like they walk, the person that gets dirty feet that have to be washed, the person who gets hot and tired and hungry and sleepy and weary, who do people say that I am? Some people, if they only knew, sought only to destroy Him. Luke chapter 9 and verse 21 beginning. Jesus is the one under consideration. And He strictly warned them and commanded them to tell no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Those are human characteristics. The Son of Man, He didn't say the Son of God on this occasion has to be killed, because you know why? I don't think that's proper grammar. You know why He didn't say that? Because you can't kill the Son of God. You can't bury the Son of God, and that's why in 3 days later the tomb couldn't hold Him. But He put on flesh to experience death for your sins and for my sins, and He couldn't do that except He was the Son of Man. And it just seems important to me to understand that He keeps calling Himself the Son of Man, if maybe you and I shouldn't realize that's who He is. Do you see it? Because sometimes I hear people say things like, well, Jesus doesn't understand like what I'm going through because He was God's Son. He knew He was going back to heaven. He was 100% man. That's a silly statement to make. Some people say, well, Jesus could work miracles. There are things that happen in our world today by scientific advancement that are beyond anything people in Jesus' day understood. But that's not why He's the Son of Man, and that's not why He's the Son of God. Luke 19 and verse 9 beginning. You remember the story of good old Zacchaeus, don't you? Up in the sycamore tree. Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to your house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's interesting to see when he defines his mission as the Son of Man, he defines himself as the Son of Man, that he came to seek and to save the lost. Which brings up the third thing I want to share with you this morning. Can you see Jesus, my Lord, as the Savior of the human race? I don't think you have to be very intuitive to look around and see the human race needs some saving. Read the newspaper, and they arrest somebody for shooting people because they're driving down the highway. Or we've got multiplied thousands trying to escape persecution, and it now affects all of Europe and even our country across the ocean. You look at the problems that exist, and they will befuddle you and overcome you if we as human beings try to get an answer. There are more problems than we have resources or answers to give, but Jesus is the answer. And do you see him as a Savior? Do you see some government entity or some man that's a millionaire or some person that owns a fleet of jets? What is it that you see as the answer to the world's problems today? And I want to tell you that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for our sin. You must see him as the Son of God, but you must see him as the Son of Man, and now you must see him as the Savior. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Jesus is our sacrifice. You see, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Who would you give your life for today? I watch these movies and shows, and they talk about the presidential secret service, and inevitably somebody will say, I would take a bullet for you. Who would you take a bullet for? Maybe your mother, your father, your child. Somebody you love, somebody that's close. But would you do it for the whole world? Would you do it for the reprobate of the world? Would you give yourself in their place? Would you go down to the next execution, wherever it might take place, and say, I want to stand in and let him go? Almost foolish to conceive of that from the human mind. Hebrews 10 and verse 12 says, But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He gave his life to save us, and then he went back to heaven. It's an amazing concept that we need a Savior, and God has provided one. I've said not only today, but thousands of times in the time that we've been together in our ministry together, that we've got a sin problem, people. And there's not a person on any pew in this building or the ones outside of this building that doesn't have a sin problem. Now, some people have found the answer to the sin problem. Some haven't. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul writing his young preacher friend, and he says, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Paul said, I'm the worst of the worst, but Jesus came to save me. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Jesus is my Savior, and he wants to be yours. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. And we'll close the lesson with this verse. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Surely it's a misprint. Surely that can't be what it means. Died for the ungodly. Now, those who are not, that's what he means. Christ died for the ungodly as Savior. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone might die. But God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you see Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look and open your eyes. He will carry you through. But you've got to come to him. He's come to you. He's come to the earth. He's bridged the gap between heaven and earth. But he won't make you take him. He only offers himself as our Savior. Can you see him? Can you see him standing between heaven and earth? Can you see him hanging on the cross? Can you see him born in a manger? But can you see him pleading for your soul right now? For he ever lives to make intercession for you. This morning, if you can see him, come to him. If you need to be born again of the water and the Spirit and baptized into Christ and have your sins washed away as a penitent believer and will confess his name, we can assist you in that this morning. If you've wandered away and you haven't been faithful to the cause of Christ and need to come home, why not? Well, why not? The song says tonight, but I'll substitute this morning. Jesus is tenderly pleading. Do you see him? Do you know who he is? If we can help you this morning, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?